I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
That's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And, we're going to cover a lot of little stories today. Trump had a big day on Wall Street with his Trump Media Company making him somewhere in the neighborhood of $6.5 billion or something like that. But an incredible day for Trump. And the lawfare groups are starting to crumble. We're going to learn more about this Quagliano guy that's keeping Bragg under lock and key and making sure he does the right thing. Alvin Bragg is the AG in New York City that is a Soros-funded, backed operative and going after Trump in lawfare ways to, you know, basically meddle in our elections. Everything that the Democrats do is all about election rigging. Every single thing that they're doing, like Eric Adams, the mayor Adams of New York is starting to hand out debit cards now to these potential illegal voters, and the open border is all about ballots. Again, Scott Pressler is back in the news because Scott Pressler met up with his organization and met up with the RNC and Laura Trump, and they're going to be working together hand in glove. So it's going to be getting out the vote and ballot harvesting, and that's an operation that the Republicans are going to finance and foot the bill for, and they're going to do it in earnest. And last I checked, you know, Donald Trump with his new IPO is going to have a lot of money after a certain period of time. They're going to have a lot of money to play around with, probably more money than they have ever had before. So it takes money to make money. But at some point, to save this country, it's going to take a huge investment to get rid of the politicos in Washington. They know it. You know, I don't know what the story is with regard to, there's a lot of little stories going on, right? Sean Combs, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, whatever you want to call him, is in big trouble, obviously. And, you know, the audio clips and the videos that of him with little kids is very eerie and very disgusting. And there was a lot of people in the know that predicted what was going on. And somehow this goes all the way to the top of Universal Audio Records. And then you have to look at someone like Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey, there is not one child predator, not one pedophile, not one sexual aggressor that Oprah Winfrey doesn't love, is not in love with. There was this so-called guru that was molesting all kinds of different women and children that Oprah Winfrey was attached to. Some guy with a weird name, Guru. And then, of course, Puff Daddy. She's photographed with him all over the place. Of course, she was good friends with Harvey Weinstein. And she hates Trump. Get Trump at all costs. Get him. Right? And Puff Daddy endorsed Joe Biden. When is America going to wake up? When is America going to wake up to the fact that the Democrat Party is a terrorist organization, that they are trying to ruin this country from decay, from the inside out? When are they going to wake up that this was all a ruse and a plan started and hatched by Barack Obama, financed by people like George Soros and Sam Bankman-Fried? When is America going to wake up to the fact that Hollywood and people like Taylor Swift are evil, satanic? When is America, and when are our Democrat friends that vote Democrat, when are they going to wake up and realize that they're screwing things up? That they're not paying attention. They're not keeping their eye on the ball. That their vote is neutralizing your vote, and you're trying to save America. I could care less whether it's Donald Trump. I mean, I love Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, someone was asking me once. I said, it's not about Trump. Get your head away from Trump for just a second. Just for 1 second. Get your head out of Trump. Because that's a very polarizing, volatile, whatever it is, for whatever reason, Trump derangement syndrome exists. I don't understand it. I don't know what the remedy is for it. But it's disgusting. Anybody that could hate anybody for... And, you know, and I love that man on the street thing. The man on the street thing is, so you hate Trump, but what did he do wrong to you? What did he do to you? And they're like, I don't know. I just hate for no reason. Reminds me of that scene in Rocky. Some people rack, they just hate for no reason. I should have broke your thumb. I love that movie. But, you know, it's people don't even know, like, what crimes did he commit? He's a criminal. He's been indicted like 91 times. What crime did he commit? I could rattle off all kinds of crimes for Joe Biden. He's a racist. What did he do that was racist? I can't think of that. You know, they can't think of anything, right? But I could rattle off 10 things he did for HBCU universities, opportunity zones, black unemployment. I could rattle them all off. It's easy. It's no problem. All the good things he's done. All the great things he's done. All the friends that he's had. Just look at his relationship with Herschel Walker in the USFL. Look at his relationship with Mike Tyson, and look at his participation in the sweet science of boxing and Atlantic City, and his connection with the UFC and his connection with entertainment in general. And they want to get him on what? What do they want to get him on? It's insane. Joe Biden can't even string a sentence together. And now you got Pete Buttigieg running the Department of Transportation over this another problem. And you know what they're the thing in Baltimore with the ship that had crashed into the there's no terrorism there. Any conspiracy theories about that? It's clear that the boat lost power. It's clear that the boat was struggling. You could look at the black smoke. You could look at the power going in and out. You could look at the records that report that the captain declared Mayday, Mayday. And some of the people that lost their lives were the people doing the work on that bridge. But then you get Pete Buttigieg out there saying that roads are racist. The designs of roads are racist. You get Pete Buttigieg out there saying stuff like that, stupid stuff. And you get rumors floating around like the captain was a Ukrainian. That's kind of interesting. It is a little bit interesting, you have to admit. And then you get Pete Buttigieg out there, you know, basically the Babylon Bee says, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg at a time of crisis, you know, holds emergency press conference to announce he has taken 3 more months of maternity leave with his, you know, boy toy at home. But it's kind of crazy, right? He was declaring roads as racist. He's the guy in charge of transportation. We've had nothing but problems with our airlines. And now, because of the climate change, we have a short supply of oil. Oil is so expensive that people are cutting corners. And so what they're really figuring out with this boat is it could have been the fuel. The fuel could have been causing some major problems. You know, in terms of the engines cutting out. So could have been related to fuel. We don't know for sure. But Pete Buttigieg is not the man for the job. And climate change is killing people is what we're professing here. And then other news, what we have is RFK Jr. has a running mate. Wow. So Nicole Shanahan, right? She is rich. She was married. She looks like she's like from the Philippines or something. You know, and she married into a billionaire and then got divorced. The head of Google. Wonder if that leans left. Now, she's left wing, all right. She's a commie. She's a communist. She's an absolute communist. I was really disappointed with RFK and his choice. He could have picked Andrew Yang. He could have picked, you know, people that have half a brain. But he picked someone who's basically slept her way to the top. I mean, that's what she did. She was sleeping with Elon Musk. Elon Musk has tastes like Amanda Heard, right? Sold his soul for Amanda Heard from Johnny Depp fame. And Elon Musk voted for Joe Biden. Elon Musk, smartest man in the world, richest man in the world, you know, was sleeping with this hooker, who is now RFK's running mate. I said, funny if California, but here's the kicker, right? This is the kicker. I wrote this. I said, funny if California Google millionaire Nicole Shanahan helps RFK Jr. win California as his VP pick, because she's from, you know, she's living in Cali, right? She's got more money, and California loves money. You know, they get sold on every little hook, line, and sinker. Anybody who spends money and says anything to them, they're going to believe it. Okay, we believe you. We are left-wing zombies. So what if, because, see, here's the interesting part about it. Okay. Couple of interesting key little annotations. One, Nicole Shanahan, right? She's now the VP pick for JFK or RFK Jr. RFK is from New York. By way of where? Massachusetts, right? He's a New Englander. Let's just put it that way. It's Robert Kennedy, right? Robert Kennedy. Massachusetts, come to mind. And the Kennedy compound, remember? Martha's Vineyard. But he's from New York. So wouldn't it be something? The two biggest electoral states in the Union, other than Texas, New York and California. Wouldn't it be something if he were to pick up with Shanahan's money? She's worth like $1 billion, right? So, because she's good looking and she slept her way into a lot of billionaires' pockets. But she's divorced and she's with RFK now. And Nicole Shanahan is a California darling, Silicon Valley darling, slept with probably half of Silicon Valley. And so she's got connections in California. So wouldn't it be interesting if she were to actually win, help RFK win California? Because the left, the radical left, which you could find in New York and in California, hate Biden right now because of his position with the Middle East crisis. You know, he's getting protests by radical left-wingers over his position with Hamas, which is kind of interesting. And he's not doing enough to support Ukraine. And believe it or not, they think he's not doing enough with respect to climate. Because on one side of the mouth, they're saying, we're producing more oil than ever before. We're consuming more. We have more output. I don't know. That's not true. They just lie all the time. But the thing is that Biden, people are struggling under Biden because they're feeling the real inflation. People are more in debt than they ever have been. People are fleeing California in droves. Gavin Newsom's not helping the Democrats win in California, but they have election. They are like the connoisseurs of election rigging in California. So they have that down pat. You know, you don't need an ID or anything like that. You can just show up as an illegal conquistador and vote. You know, they don't want to know whether you're a citizen or not. That's how you get people like Eric Swalwell and Ted Lieu, Swallowswell, Fang Fang Swallowswell, and Ted Lieu and Adam Schiff and Shifty Schiff. And that's why you get all these losers out of California. Gavin Newsom. All these fake people with all these fake climate change initiatives and fake policies. But okay. Wouldn't it be something if Nicole Shanahan, a Silicon Valley darling, helps RFK win California? So it's a three-man race, right? It's a three-man race, and guess what? RFK gets the Electoral College, wins California by the seat of his pants. Just comes in right over, you know, because it's a three-man race. And somehow he said, well, wouldn't it be great if Trump were to not split the vote and Trump gets, you know, say 40% of the vote and Biden gets something like 30% and RFK gets 30%, right? 60 plus 40 is 100. Anyway, the point is that a three-man race with RFK, as radical left as they are, is only going to take votes from Biden. There isn't an algorithm or a Dominion voting machine or a tabulator that has enough registered voters to beat that. Because we know that there's going to be a lot of registered voters that aren't legally allowed to vote. We know that. We know that their ballots are going to be picked up by Democrat ballot harvesters and filled out and dropped off and counted at the end of the night. But it's only going to take like, what, 110% voter turnout That's impossible. That's never going to, that's the one kind of fraud you can easily beat. Now, the polls are going to indicate one thing. The polls can't be that wrong. That's going to be a red flag. Signature verification is going to have to be addressed. And until we can get into power and take back the House and take back the Senate and take back the White House and change and press the Supreme Court to require voter ID for voting, right? Until common sense prevails, we're going to have to play this game of election fraud. We're going to have to play it. We're literally going to have to be fraudsters ourselves in order to beat the fraudsters. Because we know that, that it's not on the up and up. We know that. So we have to actually strong arm and get smart. Beat them at their own game. So I said, funny if California Google millionaire Nicole Shanahan helps RFK Jr. with California as his VP pick, while New Yorker and Massachusetts-based RFK Jr. denies Biden administration any chance of using illegal ballots as a way to steal the 2024 election by losing electoral votes from California, New York, and Massachusetts. That's the point. Now, if that were the case, and I haven't done the math, but what if it worked out to where nobody got the 270? Because now, see, Trump's not going to have to split any vote. And more than likely, RFK is going to, you know, make it very much impossible for Biden to even steal the Rust Belt, the big blue wall. That's Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and maybe Minnesota. But definitely Michigan. Ohio used to be part of that blue wall. It's not anymore. But Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Minnesota, for that matter. Now, what if that were the case that somehow all this got split up and then no one reaches 270? Well, then you go to the state delegates. And the delegates favor the Republicans. And then you still, it's in their hands. And we've gotten rid of a lot of rhinos. Republicans, some people are talking that that's what's up with this Gallagher thing, is they want to, the Uniparty wants to hand the keys over to Jeffries. And so that's why Gallagher is doing what he's doing. He's resigning, but he's waiting for the April date to where they can't have a runoff election or a special election before November. And he's doing that on purpose to make it a razor-thin majority in the House. And somehow somebody else is going to depart, and they're going to hand the keys over to Jeffries. Because Mike Johnson isn't getting the job done, right? So that's kind of another interesting little thing that we have to think about. Because who's in charge of the House? Well, it's not even about that, though, when it comes to elections. It's about delegates. Each state gets one delegate. And right now, the Republicans have a clear majority as to state representation. How many states are represented by congressmen. Because, see, California has so many and New York has so many. That they have a lot of congressmen, but only two states. You see. I said 80 plus per barrel. So this was in response. National Review, so-called Republican conservative magazine, says his video from a Russian grocery store doesn't show that Russia is doing anything great. They were talking about Tucker Carlson, right? Had this video of a Russian store. I said $80 plus per barrel of oil and stronger relations with behemoth China and a new monetary standard via BRICS, Russia now has the strongest economy in Europe. Biden did that. It's true. It's absolutely true. Putin's in the news too, and we're going to cover that too. So Putin says that the radical Islamists carried out the attack, but now we want to know who ordered it. He claims this was part of Kiev regime's attack on Russia, given the Western intelligence have been the financiers of global Islamic terrorism for decades. Suspect number one would be the CIA. No matter how you slice it, the U.S. are somewhat responsible for this attack, whether it was ISIS acting alone, Ukraine acting alone, one of the NATO allies, or the CIA themselves. All of them belong to the same entity. All of them answer to the same masters, all funded by the U.S. taxpayer. All tentacles of the same octopus. The Biden regime, which is really the extension of the Obama regime, by some layers of separation, are responsible for this attack, and Putin knows it. It's not hyperbolic to say that we are currently closer to World War III than we have ever been. Yeah, that's kind of scary, too, when you think about it. You know, Russia is not something we should be playing around with. So let's take a listen to this. FSB Director Bortnikov, there is information that USA, Britain, and Ukraine are behind the terrorist attacks. Let's take a listen to this. All right. Here we go.
Не пора ли признать их террористической организацией?
Ну, надо это делать, конечно, да. Я считаю, что это основание. Не только считать, но и принимать соответствующие.
Для признания их террористической...
Oh, I thought that was... interpreted. I have another audio clip that is interpreted. FSB Director Bortnikov is speaking, right? And he says, there is information that USA, Britain, and Ukraine are behind the terrorist attack. I said, ISIS has long served as mercenaries paid by the U.S. to run Iraqi oil into Europe and Africa. U.S. politicos overthrew Mubarak in Egypt, murdered Gaddafi in Libya. Romney's CIA advisor Kofor Black was on the board of Burisma along with Hunter and helped Mitt profit in Afghanistan. There's no question about it that the Bidens have profited from that war. But no, I'm going to play this audio clip here. This is Vladimir Putin.
Rises. Who is to benefit? This crime can only be a link in a chain of attempts by those who are at war with our country since 2014. The Nazis, the Kiev regime, who never stopped at any means, using any kinds of inhuman tactics to achieve their goals, especially now when their so-called counteroffensive has failed, as recognized by everyone, and the Russian armed forces possess the initiative along the entire front line, and no attempts to stabilize the situation for the Ukrainian sides have been successful. This has led to their attempts to penetrate our borders and their shellings of Russian civilian infrastructure, including energy infrastructure, their attempts to make strikes at the Crimean Bridge, the Crimean Peninsula. These steps make up a logical sequence of terrorist attacks and attempts to intimidate the Russian society and sow discord, at the same time to show their own population that the Kiev regime is still strong. That the only thing people need is to obey the orders that come from Washington, fight to the last Ukrainian, and to adopt new orders on mobilization, create youth brigades like Hitler used to have, and the money that are being provided for these purposes will certainly be appropriated by the higher-ups, like has happened in Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, he knows what time it is, right? that's what's going on here. All right, we got other news we want to talk about, too. That's what was going on in Ukraine and Moscow. And And then we talked about the bridge a little bit. Again, I don't think it was terrorist or anything like that, but I think it was definitely probably a unintended consequence of climate change that ended up killing the lives of some construction workers that were working on the bridge at the time of the collapse. I mean, that boat definitely lost power. The boat was definitely struggling. We got RFK Jr. Basically picking a communist, millionaireist from the Silicon Valley that slept her way to the top and is now in charge. And her policies are just horrendous. I mean, what she supports is absolutely discouraging. But I'm happy about it because her policies are so left-wing that it really shows exactly who Robert Kennedy was all, what he was truly about. I knew it because his position on climate change, for example, was radical, RFK. And I knew he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I know this, that when he runs as a third party and he's all in, is only going to take votes from Joe Biden. Nicole Shanahan serves as the chief joy officer at the Shlemu Institute and is a major Democrat donor and WEF ambassador. She has recently married for a third time in a Durid ceremony to Bitcoin King Jacob Strauswasser. They met at Burning Man. Shanahan has provided millions to various causes and politicians, including abortion on demand, radical climate advocacy and ending oil, defunding police and bail reform, Hillary Clinton, Ro Khanna, Pete Buttigieg, Marianne Williamson, Joe Biden, Soros-backed DAs like George Gascon. Question for Never Trumpers. Is she the sort of person you want as your president? Of course she is for the Never Trumpers. RFK VP choice Nicole Shanahan is a six-figure donor to George Gascon, the pro-crime Soros-backed prosecutor who helped wreck San Francisco and is currently wrecking L.A. She also spent big on Measure, a Los Angeles measure to reroute spending from law enforcement and prisons to social services and mental health. In order, in other words, not putting criminals and dangerous psychos behind bars. This is a far left pick by RFK, who is apparently looking to shore up his progressive bona fides. Major red flag for common sense, independents, and centrists, voters who are also sick of rising crime, but intrigued by his campaign. So this is quite interesting. And I couldn't. I mean, I have to say, as far as RFK being a threat to taking some votes from Trump, which was bandied about, this pick right here makes that virtually impossible. And that the only thing that RFK is going to do is be a thorn in the side of Joe Biden. Let's take a listen to this. All right, so let's see. Rate. I think this is where we're going to get into this. No. This is about Rona McDaniel. So Rona McDaniel also got fired from NBC after one day. Let's see. Lost my place. I don't think the audio clip I have set up is the one that I want to play, but but let's see. Okay, we're going to go ahead forward with it anyway. I think this is going to be about Rona McDaniel, but let's take a listen.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Meanwhile, there's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced attorney and entrepreneur Nicole Shanahan as his running mate yesterday. Trump posted on Truth Social about it. He said this overnight, saying, quote, his running mate, Nicole Shanahan, is even more liberal than him, if that's possible. Kennedy is a radical left Democrat and always will be. He is crooked Joe Biden's political opponent, not mine. I love that he is running. I wonder, Monica, will RFK take votes from Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Or both?
Well, I think to this point, we have seen Bobby Kennedy taking probably equally from both Trump and Biden, probably a little bit more from Joe Biden, because there are a lot of disaffected Democrats who are just aware of this historic catastrophe under Biden. But I think with this choice of Nicole Shanahan, who comes out of Silicon Valley, although she has been critical of big tech, but I think a lot of people are going to see this ticket as more progressive. So I think in the end, it's going to end up pulling more from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris than Donald Trump. That's why Trump is celebrating.
You would think so. Sergey Brin's ex-wife.
Yes.
Right? Your thoughts, Tiffany.
Yeah, you know, the DNC and Joe Biden and his campaign have tried to sort of ignore RFK Jr., and now they simply can't.
Yeah.
I think he pulls from the president. He's appealing. He just, you know, Shanahan is young. She's everything that the American dream that we aspire to in this country. So she could pull, you know, more younger voters over to her side versus Biden. I think the verdict's still out, you know, whether she will be able to do that. But it's quite interesting.
It's outrageous that Biden will not approve him to get
protection.
Protection.
That's wrong.
Incredible.
That really is.
Yes.
Well, that's putting the squeeze on, because that's the way the Dems do it.
They won't do anything.
And if another Kennedy goes down in speaking about that because he gets shot, that's going to ruin the Biden chance right there. Because Biden, why in the world is he not authorizing funding, Secret Service funding for RFK at this point?
Debates either, Adam.
No,
debate between Joe Biden and RFK.
He's not capable
of it. The people who care about democracy aren't going to have debates in front of the American people.
No. Well, look at the difference between the Joe Biden we saw at the State of the Union and the Joe Biden we've seen every day since. No energy, unable to connect sentences, seemingly lost. You wonder, what happened at the State of the Union? I wouldn't be surprised if they gave him an IV that had electrolytes and sugar, et cetera, because he was on that night. Yeah. But when you see him on most days, he is not. He is terribly off, and that is why he will not debate.
All right, we were just getting started this hour. Healthcare M&A heating up. Johnson.
Well, that's fascinating, though. I'm telling you, this pick, when he picked it, when RFK picked Nicole Shanahan and I saw her pedigree, I was like, yes, that's great for Trump, terrible for Joe Biden. I just love it. I mean, you know, what can you say? So I want to know which one of you guys' favorite part of $1.2 trillion spending bill that Speaker Johnson seems to approve. Let's see. Let's take a listen.
Okay, so I want to know which one is your guys' favorite part of the $1.2 trillion spending bill. Is it one, $850,000 for a gay senior citizen home in Massachusetts? Is it two, $15 million for Egyptian college tuitions? Is it three, $400,000 for a group that helps teens hide their gender? Is it four, $500,000 for an anti-racist nature appreciation group at the San Diego Zoo? Or is it number five, $300 million additional? Okay.
Yeah, see, this is just government pork and waste, right? It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, so also, as I mentioned, Ronan McDaniel out at NBC after one day. Jesse Waters weighed in on this, and he had some pretty good audio clips about how the radical left was in meltdown mode over Ronald McDaniel, who, you know, basically supports Trump, even though she was a rhino, right? I mean, they couldn't even take that on their network. It was unbelievable. Let's take a listen. Let's see. Oh, wait, right here.
Of the political spectrum. The talent is already taking a victory lap. I still feel like a
Rachel
little
Maddow,
it always Reed. Feels wrong to talk about things, you know, in the company. I think it's a show of respect for the people who work at this company. You know, it's not about hiring a Republican. It's not even about hiring somebody who has Trump ties. This was a really specific case because of Ms. McDaniels and her involvement in the election interference stuff. And I'm grateful that our leadership was willing to do the bold, strong, resilient thing.
So NBC Brass did a 180 after the talent revolted.
The people who were involved in hiring Romney McDaniel, they don't know the Nixon rule. No one close to the crimes.
This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system.
But we've also said election deniers, is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us. As badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves.
You wouldn't hire a pickpocket to work as a TSA screener. And so I find the decision to put her on the payroll inexplicable. And I hope they will reverse their decision.
Ronna McDaniel tells Fox that she still hasn't heard anything from NBC. She learned she was getting fired by reading it in the media. And now she's looking for a lawyer. And her agency that walked her into this gig, CAA, just dropped her. This is the kind of treatment you can expect by the establishment if you're associated with MAGA Republicans. The media has designated MAGA Republicans as violent extremists who threaten democracy. And the only way to deal with them is to censor and deplatform them. In other words, they're not welcome in polite society. Apparently, NBC executives haven't been watching their own air. Because that's the agenda. But here's how I look at it. 7 months before the election, the left's still fighting amongst themselves. This infighting's been going on for months over Biden's strategy. Now it's seeped into the media, over poll numbers, the convention. This tells me the left's divided. Former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy joins me now. Vivek, how do you interpret what we saw in the last, 24 hours at NBC?
Look, I don't think it was a great decision for Ronna McDaniel to join NBC in the first place. After she chose NBC to moderate that third RNC debate, which I was critical of, I think it was poor optics and maybe poor substance for her to join NBC. But having had made that decision, I think it is unconscionable that NBC, without even hearing what she has to say, cuts her off in that way. It's just another embodiment of this cancel culture that has spread across not only media, but every sphere of our life. And I think we need more open debate in our country, not more silos. And I think it was a pathetic decision by senior management that apparently has a spine made of jelly at NBC, and they deserve to be criticized for it.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane, really. I mean, that we're living in a world, but X is really the platform, and now Truth Social has gotten a big boost. The Republicans are in a better position today than I think we've ever been in. And MAGA Republicans aren't terrorists. We're not aggressive. We're not white, right-wing extremists. It's insane that they say these things. And what's even more insane is that they actually have people that watch and believe what they say. I know some of these people that watch their news programs and think that somehow Rachel Maddow is great. I mean, they exist. She has numbers. But they're shrinking. Their credibility is gone. And I think everybody knows that's watching at this point that it's a biased. I mean, let's face it. You know, we all knew that Fox News leans right and MSNBC leans left and CNN leans left and everybody else leans left. We all knew that. We know why that is. And we choose to listen to what we agree with. And that's not always healthy either. I think it pays dividends to listen to commentary that you don't agree with. I think that that's a valuable thing to do. But nevertheless, their numbers are dwindling, and the people that are listening to them, I think, appreciate the words of comfort that they're hearing, but they're not in full belief. And then when you see Trump win, like he's winning, despite all odds. I mean, frankly, I've known this about Trump since the 90s, when Trump was having trouble with his Atlantic City casinos, and he was in debt and underwater, and he had to sell off his yacht and his airline. And he did an IPO then that bailed him out of a jam. An IPO of the Trump brand that overnight bailed him out of a jam. And it was great. It was great to see that. And I said, well, only Donald Trump could have figured that out, because he was between a rock and a hard place for sure. There's no doubt about it. And so you got to give kudos to Trump. He has always been a survivor. And, you know, what can you say about that, right? But, so I'm reading this other report. It says the British Army is expert when it comes to terrorizing civilians, killing tribesmen or Iraqi conscripts in 1950s tanks. Not so good when it comes to fighting a real army. So the Telegraph, UK military couldn't fight Russia for longer than 2 months. Yeah, I mean, our militaries are really something. So Mike Davis details how Matthew Colangelo, which is a Biden Department of Justice operative, has been legally targeting President Trump in New York City, working with Alvin Bragg, making sure Alvin Bragg is doing the right thing.
That is 100% true.
This is Mike Davis.
This Soros-funded Manhattan DA bringing the first indictment ever against a former president of the United States who happens to be the leading presidential candidate, and they're using bogus charges. They are trying to take bookkeeping misdemeanors at best, where the statute of limitations has long since passed, and they're bootstrapping on federal election violations, and they are bringing these felony charges against Trump under this bogus theory brought by this Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg. And remember, the prior Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, passed over this case. The Manhattan U.S. attorney passed over this case. The Federal Election Commission passed over this case. Alvin Bragg himself passed over this case until Matthew Colangelo got sent from the number three office in the Biden Justice Department. Matthew Colangelo was a very senior political appointee in the Biden Justice Department. He was a former top political appointee in the Obama administration, including to Labor Secretary Tom Perez. They created a BS Deputy Attorney General DEI position for this Matthew Colangelo in the New York Attorney General's office. So he got sent from the Biden Justice Department to Alvin Bragg's office to resurrect this zombie case against Trump, this bogus case against Trump. And now this Manhattan Democrat judge, Juan Merchan, has went along with Alvin Bragg and Matthew Colangelo's request to put this illegal, unconstitutional gag order on President Trump. If there is anyone on the planet who needs the constitutional rights to speak out against the judge, against the court staff, against the prosecutor, against the process, it is a criminal defendant going through a criminal process, especially a criminal process that is obviously rigged against that criminal defendant, Donald Trump. This is a clear First Amendment violation. This is a clear Sixth Amendment violation. They are trying to silence President Trump and ram him through this criminal process in New York, railroad him in this process, and Trump can't speak out against it. This is lawfare. This is election interference. This is obviously unconstitutional. This is clearly illegal.
Yeah, absolutely. What's going on in New York? And that's the case that's coming up next, the one in April with Alvin Bragg. So that's why that's relevant. A good test of which system is better is who needs to build a wall to keep people in. That's the bad one. Elon Musk says this. It's a crazy idea. Let's divide a country into half capitalists and half communists and check on it in 70 years. And they're showing a picture of North and South Korea. Lights on, lights off. Joey Manarino says, I'm at the point where I no longer recognize the country that I live in. When I grew up, I was so extremely proud to be an American. The pride was everywhere. It was in the way we carried ourselves. It was in the way we worked hard for what we earned. It was in the way we spoke about our country and our fellow countrymen. It was in the way we interacted with one another. It was in our traditions. We saw it on TV. We saw it in stores. We saw it in movies. We could be proud to be Americans, and the world envied us for it. They all wanted to be here, not to rip us off and live as freeloaders, but to build their piece of the American dream. Home ownership, a strong family, a good job, and security for your future generations. My grandparents got on boats in the 1940s and 50s to set across the sea and legally immigrate to this country to give a better life to their children. My maternal grandmother arrived here and was a seamstress and a homemaker. From Joey Manarino. My maternal grandfather came here after some delays and was a factory worker. My paternal grandmother stayed at home, and my paternal grandfather was a successful tailor to the company Bill Blass. He even did fittings for Jacqueline Kennedy. These jobs seem menial, but on those salaries, they were able to put both my parents through college. They both later went on to further education, one becoming a language instructor and one becoming an extremely successful surgeon. My father didn't even have a bedroom growing up and was able to become enormously successful. That is the America. That is what America meant. That's what America meant. It's the dream we represented to the world. It's the dream that so many people can claim. I belong to a generation that doesn't know that dream. I belong to a generation that will be significantly worse off than my parents' generations. The sense of America and identity has been wiped from us. Everything around us is divided by race and gender. We literally all hate each other now, and we can't even articulate why. Everyone around us is labeled by the color of their skin, their sexual identity, and other immutable characteristics. We have so many labels for ourselves, but have forgotten the label that should come first, American. America first, right? Our politicians have sold us out. Our freedoms have been totally eroded. Our futures are non-existent living here. People my age can't buy homes. They can't begin to dream of putting their kids through school on a single-income household. Heck, I barely have any friends who are able to manage their households on a single income. Dual-income households being the norm means you are raised the way our previous generations were. Why do you think our parents' generations were able to do well? They were raised right, usually with a family member caring for them 24/7. That doesn't happen anymore. They've killed the American family, and they've killed it with purposeful precision. The concept of school shooter is now so common, we have bulletproof backpacks. The food is full of poison, and we're all becoming sicker and fatter by the day. If you want to be healthy, you better earn six figures. The population is full of people walking around like zombies on SSRIs that's suck the life out of them. We do not have to live this way. Other countries do not live this way. But other countries aren't under the same attack we are. You bring down America, you bring down the West. The globalists know this. They've nearly succeeded in doing it. I'm going to read the rest of this. I'd love to say that we elect Trump and we fix this all, but I do not think it's that simple. The cultural rot that has absolutely killed the country we all live in is systematic and is going to require a seismic shift in our mentalities. Can we still turn it around? He doesn't know. I just know that I wish my future children could grow up in the country that I did, because I don't recognize the one I'm living in. Why do we allow the greatest nation on earth to become what it is today? Well, that's a heartfelt message, a tweet I wanted to share with you by Joey Marino. And that brings us to the end of our show, Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you can to help keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.